Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily lives. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, I'm Ruth, your host. It's great to have you here. It's actually great to be here. I am very sorry to you listeners who missed out on a podcast last week, and if you were missing it, I was laid up, not in bed. I managed to make it as far as the couch, but I spent about 3 days lying on the couch doing not very much at all, which was a bit tragic. Just a virus. It's gone, and I'm happy to be well again. But thank you for sticking with me. I guess this is time to give you that little reminder that if you subscribe through iTunes, then you won't miss out. So you won't forget if there's a week missing and forget to come back the next week. That's important to me. I hope it's important to you. I hope you enjoy listening to these testimonies week by week. And I guess I want to remind you too that if you enjoy listening to these testimonies week by week, you could tell someone else about it and they might enjoy listening to them too. Anyway, episode 47 today, Wednesday the 27th of November 2019. You know, I might even make it to 50 episodes by the end of the year. God willing, that would be very exciting. And today's guest is Catherine, and she is an actor and a voice actor and a great friend, and she lives in the US. So we talk by Skype, and it was a bit of a one of those Skype sessions, you know, where anytime she said something really exciting, it all froze and went and then I had to say, missed that, could you say that again? So there was a fair bit of editing to do this time around, but I think you'll still get the gist of what she had to say, which was actually really great stuff about incarnation, about using our gifts for the glory of God. And it was a fantastic conversation. I love Catherine, she's such a good friend. And next week I get to talk to Sean, who is Catherine's husband, and that was also an excellent conversation, and you'll find that very good as well. So yes, this week Catherine, and this week I'm feeling much better, and I'm trying to catch up on the work that that I missed, having spent 3 days on the couch. I don't think any of us can really afford to lose 3 days. The other exciting thing that happened last week, which was a little bit scary. So I managed to make it out of the house on Thursday, and I went down to my cafe and did my normal writing stuff, and that was fine. And I did some grocery shopping, and that was fine. So then I thought, right, I'm well enough to go to the Cat Empire concert on Thursday night. And I'm a big fan of the Cat Empire. I don't go to many concerts actually, but I love Cat Empire. So went and danced the night away. So 15,000 steps after having, you know, almost exactly zero steps recorded in my step monitor for the 3 days previous. It was fantastic. I felt like I was completely exhausted on Friday. Just, you know, my body just didn't want to move, but I didn't feel sick. I just felt tired. So I was happy with that. So that's the last week. In the week coming up, I'm becoming aware that Christmas is just around the corner. I don't have a lot of time to do anything about that, but I'm aware, so that's good. I wonder how your Christmas preparations are coming. It's getting exciting. Yeah, let's say exciting. Let's look forward to this with joy and peace. I'm glad that my family are all not too worried about having things perfect over the Christmas. We just enjoy celebrating together. And my daughter Jess, she's taken over one of the family Christmases. She's just instructed us in all what we have to do, what we have to bring, what kind of present giving we're doing, and she's just taking over the whole thing. And I'm quite happy with that. It means I don't have to think about it, so that's good. And the other important news, of course, is that November being nearly over, I am about 5,500 words off finishing the 50,000 words for NaNoWriMo. So that's exciting too. And I hope that I do it before Saturday, but, you know, Saturday will do. Saturday will do. Just get the 50,000 before the end of the month is the plan. Again, I'm a little bit slower on that than I hope to be because I spend 3 days on the couch. But it's over. It's good. And I'm enjoying the story. I ended up writing science fiction, which is not something I've ever written a novel in before. And I was writing yesterday and I was just about ready to bring them all back down to Earth and from their trip in space and to just have them, you know, final celebrations. But all of my characters said, no, we can't do that, Ruth. We can't go back to Earth without picking up Damien's mum from the planet she's stuck on. So now we're going to go for a trip to another planet and pick up Damien's mum before we come home, which means that even though I will most likely finish the 50,000 words by the end of the month, I will not finish the story because now it seems like there's a whole other part of this story to go. So that's exciting as well. Anyway, so that's my life. Going pretty well, quite happy to be well again and busy, but enjoying it. And I hope that you're the same and I hope that you can look forward to Christmas with excitement. And I hope that you really enjoy this interview with Catherine. Today's guest is Catherine Gaffney, and my parents met Catherine through the Christian Performing Arts Fellowship and the Masterworks Festival over in the US when they were living there in the US. And then when Mum and Dad moved back to Tassie, Catherine and her husband Sean came to visit us in Tasmania, and that was amazing because, like, we met them for one evening and it was just one of those friendships where you just get along so well. So I just want to say how grateful I am for social media because we've stayed in touch and it means I can chat with Catherine. And Catherine is an actor and a voice actor, which are two different things-ish. Maybe we'll talk about that. You can tell me about it a bit. And she's in the middle of a play, which I'm thinking is called Holes right now. And it seems to be with the children's theatre. So we can talk about that too. And I just wanted to put this quote on the Facebook page, which is says, "Joy is making your director fall out of her chair laughing in rehearsal," which really makes me want to come and see the show. But I always want to come and see your show. So it's great to be chatting with you.
That was today. A fun moment.
Yeah. I reckon it was.
Great to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, so we'll start at the beginning. So how did you become a Christian?
Well, I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. And when I was 7, my parents were missionaries in Mexico for a year. And it was at that time that I just began to understand, well, God is a provider, Jehovah Jireh. We would have groceries show up from nowhere. And it was a whole different experience than living in suburban, just south of San Francisco. That's where I officially gave my life to Christ and then did it over and over again because I'm a perfectionist and I wanted to do it right. so that was, I mean, really the start of my journey. And then blessed to continue at that church. I commuted from home for college. And then a year out of undergrad, I joined a company in Seattle, a theater company, and they were all graduates of Seattle Pacific University and wanted to bring hope to the world of theater. And so merged those two things. And that was another formative time in merging my faith and my art. And I still refer back to that. We live this crazy adventure of faith and art.
Yeah, absolutely. I really want to talk about that. Yeah. So you're a voice actor and an actor. I mean, we all know what an actor is, but what does a voice actor do?
So being a voiceover talent uses all of the acting skills because you're still telling a story with your voice. But depending on the genre, you might use more of your craft. Voiceover is literally voicing over anything where there's not a mouth moving. So it might be the actual character with his narration, going on. But it could be a commercial where you don't see it on television, on radio, the phone system where you call, I don't know, the airport, press one for reservations, press two. E-learning and online learning is huge now. So there's so many genres. Most people know commercial or animation,
Sure.
but we've all also gone to a museum and had the little earphones that's narrating our way through the museum tour. So all of that, it's a big wide world.
Can I ask special favor? Can you do your Valley Girl impression for people?
Okay, I totally can. But it totally depends on what you want me to say.
It's just fantastic.
yeah.
So, did
Thank
you
you.
always wanted to be an actor? It was always on your mind?
No, my mom put me into drama class or drama class when I was in seventh grade because I was so shy. She honestly thought I was never going to be able to speak in front of people. And so my first play in middle school, I was the narrator, which now I look back and go, ah, starting the voiceover work early. But I began to do more in high school and majored in it at San Francisco State. At which point my parents freaked out. Like, no, we didn't mean for you to be an actor full time. And don't you know 98% of all actors are unemployed? But they were public school teachers. I said, did you do that for the money? No.
No.
So it's what I love. And I've been so enormously blessed to have done it since I've been in the arts, employed in the arts since graduating undergrad 20, so many years ago.
That's got to be a miracle, really, doesn't it?
Honestly, it does. And it's been a variety of things. I'm an organized creative split brain. So I've worked in the box office selling tickets for events, but it's still in the arts. I've coached, I've taught classes, I managed a performing arts studio. And then, of course, the narrating audiobooks or performing in plays. It's all a mishmash.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much variety there if you but
Yeah.
you've got to look for it, don't you? You can't get your focused on I'm going to only be in movies or whatever. You've got to be open
No,
to
yeah, you gotta see the doors that fling open in front of you and sometimes stop banging so hard on the door that won't open.
That's
So,
a
yeah,
lesson
while we
for
were
us
in
all, I
LA,
think.
yeah. Yeah, I thought I would be more TV and film while I was there. And nope, I did a lot of administrative arts work and then started audiobook recording, which was brand new to me.
Audiobook recording. So
Yeah.
I'm big on audiobook recording because
Yes.
people are talking about audio first now and how everything should be recorded and done in audio. So I'm sure that's an absolutely growing field for you as well. Yeah, I'm thinking of
It
recording my
is
own audiobook.
tremendously.
But I don't know if I have the skills.
Oh, really?
I'll try.
For deadly misconduct?
No, for my year of saying no, the one that's, totally my voice. So
Okay.
my story.
Right.
Gosh, now I've said it on the podcast.
That
It's
could
going to
be
have to
fun.
happen, isn't it?
Why
Cool.
not?
Okay, how does your faith show in acting? So, I mean, you could always only act in Christian productions, but it doesn't sound like you've done that. So, how do you show your faith as an actor? How does it come out?
Well, Madeline L'Engle has an amazing quote in her book, Walking on Water, which I highly suggest for anybody involved in the arts who is a person of faith. And she says, there is nothing so secular that it cannot be sacred. That is the message of the incarnation. And that's what I look at. It's like I get to literally become an incarnation of these characters, take a character that's on just on the word, the page, and make it flesh and live it out. And in that moment, I bring humanity to it. And yeah, like now I'm playing the warden in Holes, and she's the evil villain. But if we didn't have bad, we wouldn't see the light of good. So sometimes I have to be the foil, and I have to see what makes them what other people would call bad. I can't view my own character as bad, but I can see where she's hurt. I can see, things that didn't end up the way she expected. And so now she takes it out on others. Mm. And then I make a more well-rounded character.
Yeah.
But especially in U.S. politics, which are quite divided right now, the entire country is divided. It became so clear to me last spring while I was doing a play that for 2 hours, people were sitting in one room together, listening to different points of view, mm-hmm. not screaming at each other, but simply seeing people walk out their, you know, life choices. And then, yeah, it developed conversation. It increases empathy, which is missing in us a lot of places. So I find I couldn't do this job without faith, mm-hmm. just knowing that God has a plan for me because it's such a crazy freelance career.
Absolutely. Also,
yeah, we've been reading to kids. So just a couple hours ago, I was at church doing an after-school reading program, and I'm reading The Tale of Despero, which is the little mouse story. And in today's chapter, he's down in the dungeon, and this jailer says to him, you know, tell me a story because stories are light. And that's what I need in this dark place. And the story ends up saving his life. Mm. And I think that's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Not to mention Jesus spoke in parables. And sometimes I think that's how we figure it out is through story.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, as a writer, it's exactly the same.
Right?
It's exactly the same story. And yeah. Yeah. Trying to get my villains to be, you know, villains who believe in what they're doing and have a purpose for what they're doing.
They
and
have
as
to.
Much as my, as much as my good guys do. If you don't have that, you don't have a good story. So yeah,
that's where conflict exists. Yeah,
that's right. And you must have conflict to have a story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And for someone who's big on conflict avoidance, that's been a big learning lesson for me.
Me too.
Yeah,
big
yeah.
time.
It's like, oh, this is all part of the plan. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm thinking too, like, so you talked about God providing for you in that year in Mexico, and now you've brought that together with how he provides for you in your, do you have some stories of God's provision in terms of your freelancing? And
amazingly, today I just got an email from a toy company saying, do you want to revisit this little spot, 6 second online spot?
Oh my goodness.
6 seconds for online. But yeah, that came out of nowhere right at the same time that I'm getting some new demos done. I'm like, oh, that's going to pay for that. A lot of provision has come through my very hardworking husband who will be on the podcast soon.
Yes.
And over and over, goodness, when we moved to LA, we didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And we spent the first night in a motel hotel and got our voicemail from Seattle where we had moved from. And he had an offer of writing a Larry Boy book. And that was, goodness, we moved there 16 some odd, let's see, 12 plus 6, 18 years ago.
Mm.
And just last month, they're turning that Larry Boy book into an episode because it's relaunching. You know, it's like, how did this come back around?
Yeah.
I can't plan it. And I'm a planner. So to see God weave his tapestry together that now we're in Kentucky, which was not on my radar ever. I'm a West Coast girl who dealt with the East Coast for 5 years and tried to figure out humidity with curly hair. But this move to Kentucky has been a blessing. And Sean and I don't have biological children, but we find that everywhere we go, we end up adopting spiritual children and artistic children. And I get put in positions where I can mentor. And now to be working at a children's theater where there are 19 kids in the show and only 4 adults. And I go, okay, I can walk out how I live and how I perform and how I treat my craft. And yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Cause I guess things get fairly tense in terms of performing in the theater on theater nights and stuff. You've got a real opportunity to show fruits of the spirit there.
Yes. Hopefully I show them what. Yeah. And I just want young performers hopefully to know the things that I didn't know as a budding performer 30 years ago, and just that they are enough. They walk into the room and they are, you know, the only Katherine Gaffney that walks into that room. Because especially in theater school, you're trained, I can be anything. Well, yes, within limits, and we need to embrace what we do well. And I'm starting to figure that out, that I have this wonderful gift of having a youthful energy inside a mature package. And I'm like, well, maybe that's my unique selling potential, you know,
That's fantastic.
that's what's different. And for me, I think that's the light of Christ shining through these old bones.
I don't know what to say there. No, but yeah, absolutely. And it's working in that space that, you know, that's unique to you is what gives you the joy. I guess, you know, I guess that's part of what, you know, where Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." That, yeah, if you find your thing and work through that, then, and I guess it changes over time as well.
Yeah, what does Buchner say? Finding your where your great passion meets the world's great need.
Oh,
That's
yes.
how you know your calling. And I think that, yeah, when I read a story, people are glued to that. Oh, wow, maybe that's my gift.
Yeah, that's so awesome. That really is. So, when do you feel close to God? When do you feel close to God?
Oh, unfortunately, usually it's at my lowest points, which I don't want to say because, you know, when you say, God, teach me patience, you know, then you're stuck and you have to start practicing it. So I think it's in those times of, well, recently we rented our Virginia house when we moved to Kentucky. So we rented it for a year and the person moved out in June. And it just closed sale today. So there was 4 months of, Lord. And I think when we have to depend on him, it actually is good for us. As much as I don't want to admit that and don't want something horrible to happen, but I don't believe in jinxes. I think that he strengthens us and keeps us humble sometimes. And I think when I can reach out to somebody else in a similar situation, we've started just a time of prayer with some of the theater, especially women, the girls that are in theater, and I feel a calling to work with the seniors right now at the university where Sean's teaching,
Oh,
and
seniors.
just
Our seniors are in Australian terms.
oh, okay. Yes,
Fourth
not old
year?
people. Yes, fourth year.
Cool.
So they're about to graduate next May and go out into the workplace. And I'm really want to work with those people that are in the theater and cinema performance degree just to say, this is what's going to happen when you get out. You know, where are your personal boundaries? What are things that you know now or weaknesses that we can be praying about? A lot of creatives battle depression. And dare I say on a podcast, that's something I've had to fight. And admitting that is where God steps in and says, well, when you're weak, I'm strong. Duh. But to admit that to a group of young people and say, it's okay to be flawed. That's how we're used. God uses flawed people all the time. And here my job is, you know, voiceover. I think of Moses a lot with a big old stutter. That when I think I can't, he says, well, I've called you here. Do you believe that I can? Like, well, yeah, I believe that you can. You know, can he do that through me? Do I allow myself to be used? And seeing that the partner God gave me, that's when I just, I can't get over how good that is. I love my husband so much, and we are this amazing match of goofiness and dreamy adventures together, and then practical. You know, we just taught a stage management class together because we have those, oh, let's put it together and plan skills. So, yeah, to have this amazing partner is a gift.
And that must be just a wonderful witness to people around you as well. I mean, marriages, there are a lot of not very strong marriages. There aren't a lot of actual, you know, marriages that you look at and say, that's what I want to have. And so to have that, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. We've been asked recently by someone close to us that couldn't go to their parents, and they reached out to me via Facebook. Like, can I ask you a question about somebody I'm dating? I thought, oh my goodness, we're kind of in this parent mode. But it's just because they had watched us silently, which is kind of scary. But yeah, people are watching and seeing how do you love each other?
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask? I can take this out if you don't want to share it on a podcast, but are you biologically child free from choice, or is this just happened to you?
Yeah, we did not have fertility issues, but we also never felt called to have children.
Yeah.
If that so anytime that I would feel like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be a mom or he's supposed to be a dad, we realized it was pure pressure.
Yeah.
and that's hard. And we saw, yeah, there's just some things that we go, okay, we have 48, 45 something nieces and nephews. We now have over a dozen grandnieces and nephews. Sean is one of 12 children.
Yeah.
So there's certainly enough Gaffneys populating the world. And it has allowed us to move. We didn't know that when we were in our younger age. But since then we go, oh, this is how we could move to Virginia when Sean was called there. This is how I could go back to school and get my MFA at 47 to 50. This is how we could end up in Kentucky now. Yeah. This is how we can invest in the next generation in a different way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a hard thing, especially in the church. I was just talking in Sunday school because people are like, well, you haven't filled your quiver. Like, what? So, but I think, you know, to know that this is a calling is good. And, you know, I've got the time and the energy to volunteer and read to kids this afternoon that sometimes their parents don't have. And in some of these situations, the kids don't have parents who can read to them.
Yeah.
So something I love and have time to do now.
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful. That's really good. And I did want to talk to you about it because I do think there's a huge amount of peer pressure to have children, especially in the church. And people look at you like, well, what's, you know, and I love to hear someone who has chosen as a calling to be child free. And that's, and then I think people tend to say, oh, it's selfish. But look at how you're living your life, and there's just so much giving to people who couldn't receive it from other sources. It's fantastic. So, yeah.
And we brought it to God, too. We're like, God, override our decision. You got the power to do that, you know?
So true.
And he often does with people. They're like, we weren't planning, but this is the best thing ever. I do have to say, because early, you know, like I think at our reception, people were asking, you know, when are you going to have kids?
yes.
But a dear friend in our church said, whenever somebody at church asks, oh, how do you do that? And they stop talking immediately. You know, put them on the spot a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely. I had friends who were having fertility issues. They said when people asked them, he said, well, just tell them we're bonking as much as we can and nothing's happened yet.
Yes. Sometimes it's so personal. Oh my.
Yeah. No, that's great. Thank you for sharing that with us. What's one thing about God and Christianity that you wish everyone knew?
I think a lot of it's encompassed in that Madeleine L'Engle quote that there isn't plumber versus I'm a plumber. Like, whatever you do, whatever you eat, drink, do it all to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And I think that we want things, whether it's music and, you know, Amy Grant is Christian until she says baby, baby. Like, oh, no. You know, heaven forbid we look at the Bible. I'm like, oh, Song of Solomon talking pomegranates. Oh,
Oh my
no.
goodness.
To know that God is in it and that he has the victory. And praise God, we're along for the ride. I want to invest, and I want to help be a good steward of the gifts that he's given me, as well as the ones that I in other people that maybe I can nurture. But yeah, I think it's not all about harvesting, and it's not all about having a separate society, because it says be in the world but not of it. You know, it's like, oh, something's different, but let's be salt and light. You got to be salt sprinkled on a piece of meat to be able. And yeah, it might still go bad, but it's going to go bad slower if the salt is there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like, we have to get out there and be salt and light.
absolutely. That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Catherine. It's really great talking to you. There's a challenge for us all. Let's go out and be salt and light in whatever we're doing this week. Next week, we talk to Sean. Sean is Catherine's husband. He is a writer, a screenwriter, and he teaches writing at a Christian university in the US. And it's an excellent conversation. I look forward to sharing it with you. Special thanks to Catherine Joy from Joy Music House for the music. As always, I really love to hear your comments. You can share them on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author. You can share them on Twitter at A Quiet Life. You can email me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au. I'd love to chat to you. And I will chat to you again next week.